It's Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. You're with us on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we talk with Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett about the thousands of deactivated voter registrations in the city and what officials are doing about it. First, voters across the state on Tuesday will weigh in on a variety of races. The state Supreme Court race will be front and center, but some voters will also find school referenda on their ballots. And some of these decisions could have higher stakes than in previous years. That's because of a new measure that Governor Walker signed into law this month. It would allow low-spending school districts across the state to raise property taxes without getting voter approval. But districts that have had a failed referendum at any point in the past 3 years would be prevented from implementing the increases. That means that for a handful of districts in Wisconsin, a no vote on Tuesday would push them out of eligibility. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's state capitol reporter and joins us from the Capitol now to talk more about what's at stake here. Laurel, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Judith.
So let's step back, Laurel, for a moment and examine this rural school funding bill that the governor signed into law earlier this month. We touched a little bit on it there in the introduction, but what exactly does this bill do?
So this bill, which the governor signed in early March, would lift a state cap on what school districts can raise through property tax revenue. So this cap has been in place for a while now, and basically it holds property taxes and per pupil spending for schools to $9,100 per student. And if a school district wants to spend more than that, and to do so raise property taxes, they need to pass a referendum in their community. So the new law that the governor signed earlier this month raises that state cap from $9,100 gradually over time to about $9,800, I believe. So it would go from 91 to 94 and then so on for the next several years until it gets up to $9,800. And essentially what it does is it allows those low-spending school districts to raise those property taxes without having to go to a referendum. So it gives them this automatic authorization. It gives them a state okay to go ahead and do that. And supporters have said that these low spending schools just are at a disadvantage. They're not competitive statewide. And so lifting this cap and giving them these automatic tax increases will help level the playing field for students that go to school all across Wisconsin.
And what do we mean by low spending school districts? What criteria do districts have to meet in order to be eligible under this bill?
Mm-hmm. So a low spending school district is a district that is spending less than that $9,100 a year per pupil. So when you you divide that up for the number of students that are in the district, if their number is at or below 9,100, they would qualify to get these automatic tax increases.
And so that's the bill, but there is that exception in the bill that would prevent some of the districts from implementing the automatic tax increases. Can you explain that a little more for us, if you could?
Mm-hmm. So this is where it gets a little bit sticky. So this bill, this proposal to lift the revenue limit, it's called, was something that was actually part of state budget negotiations. And it was something that the governor pushed back on during those negotiations because he was concerned about raising property taxes without voters' approval, having this automatic tax increase. And so when this bill came back into the legislative process after the budget was complete, it kind of became its own standalone thing instead of being part of the budget. Lawmakers introduced this new provision that said if communities have had a referendum to raise taxes in the last 3 years and voters have said, no, we don't want to raise taxes to spend more money for schools, they wouldn't be able to implement these automatic tax increases to raise the limit from 9,100 to 94 and so on. And the governor said that provided accountability that he was comfortable with, that made sure that there weren't communities that had said no to taxes recently and then would be subjected to tax increases against their will, basically because of this new state law, a decision that had been made in Madison.
We're talking with Laurel White. She's WPR's state capitol reporter, and we're looking at the impact of recently enacted legislation that would affect how school districts can raise money or whether they can through referenda. And Laurel, you said that if they've had a failed referendum in the past 3 years, they're not able to take advantage of raising property taxes. Mm-hmm. Do we know how many districts fall into that exception now?
So we know that there are 9 school districts that have had a failed referendum in the past 3 years. What's kind of interesting is that there's one school district in particular, and there's this loophole that's kind of interesting in the law. So the Howard Suamico School District had a failed referendum last year. So if you'll let me kind of carry out this scenario under the bill, they had a failed referendum last year, but they have a referendum again on the ballot this year. And they wrote into the law, lawmakers did, when they brought it back and added this provision about failed referenda, they said, you know, if a district has had a failed referenda in the past 3 years, but they try again, like Howard Suamico is going to do this year, and voters approve it, we'll forget that they have a failed referenda on their record, and their referenda will pass, they'll get whatever they're asking voters for, and they can take the automatic increases. So that's sort of lawmakers saying, you know, we're not going against the will of voters by automatically raising taxes, because they've come back and said, well, we voted no for referenda in the past, but now we're okay with it. So that's the position that the Howard Suamico School District is in on Tuesday, which is a particularly interesting one. They are currently not qualified to get the tax increases, but if their referendum passes on Tuesday, they will be able to get the tax increases. The other 8 districts that don't qualify because of failed referenda in the past don't have a referendum on Tuesday. So they're just out of luck for now as far as those automatic tax increases go.
So if I'm understanding this, Laurel, the Howard Suamico School District either is going to basically get 2 hits or 2 strikes.
That's right. Exactly.
Wow. And so the others that have a referenda on the ballot on Tuesday, how many school districts besides the Howard Suamico have a referendum in front of their voters?
So there are 28 school districts with referenda on the ballot on Tuesday across the state. But 12 of those, aside from Howard Suamico, so 13 total, are those low spending schools with that $9,100 per pupil spending at that amount or below. And so those 13, including Howard Suamico, have a referendum on Tuesday. Now, that means they're in a kind of a sticky situation, right? Because they're in line to get the automatic tax increases. They meet the low spending school criteria. But if their referendum fails on Tuesday, they've got a failed referendum on their record, of course, so they will no longer qualify for those automatic tax increases. So they kind of, like you said, they're going to get a double hit. They not only don't get the money they're asking voters for in the referendum, but they don't get the automatic tax increases from the state. And in some cases, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars for the school that had come from those tax increases.
I'm guessing because it takes a while to get a referendum onto a ballot that this might be a function of kind of crossed wires, because I'm sure that those districts had to do a lot of advanced paperwork and filings to get those on the ballot. And then this bill was just signed in March. So those got on the ballot before they knew that this was going to be a higher stakes election.
Right, that's right. And so they're kind of in a complicated position. And this bill, I think, was just signed something like 2 weeks ago. So this is pretty new. And it does make things more complicated for them than they would have anticipated, certainly. Now, they can do kind of what Howard Suamico is doing, and if their referendum fails this year and they're not eligible for the tax increases, they can always try again next year. But they would be missing out on a year of that funding from the state-approved tax increase, which, as I mentioned, could be hundreds of thousands of dollars. And obviously, these are all schools that think they need more money, because they think they need more money enough to be asking voters for a referendum. So it would be especially hard for them to not only not get the referendum, but not get these tax increases too.
Well, and am I doing the math correctly that if they decided to pose another referendum next year, they would also risk resetting the clock back to 3 years instead of having been 1 year into that 3-year waiting period?
Mm-hmm. That would be correct.
So, Laurel, the district officials that you spoke with that have these referenda on the ballot and you know, as we said, pretty high stakes, how are they feeling about it?
Well, I talked to the superintendent of the Howard Suamigo School District yesterday because I found their case to be particularly interesting, that they have a chance to lift themselves out of this referendum ban, I guess you could call it, the three-year ban, to get the referendum money and the tax increase money. And he said that he's feeling optimistic. They've made some changes to what they're asking voters this year as opposed to what they asked them last year. There's a time period on the amount of money they're asking for. They're asking for $5.85 million over 5 years. So he thinks kind of having that five-year period is important to voters in the community. They've talked to the community a lot about it. But what's particularly interesting to me is I asked him, you know, do you think voters are aware of this sort of double whammy, high-stakes situation? And he said that he's tried to convey that, and the school district has certainly tried to convey that, but it is complicated. So it's hard to know whether voters really understand the stakes of what their decisions are going to be at the polls on Tuesday.
Well, Laurel, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's state capitol reporter. She joined us to talk about the high-stakes decisions facing several school districts across Wisconsin when voters head to the polls on Tuesday.